And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Partner with God, was written by Mark Siegel. It is taught by the rabbis that when God created the universe, he did not complete it. He left within it a realm of chaos for man to subdue. And in the struggle against that chaos, man was to attain the deepest meaning of his life. He was to become a partner with God in the work of creation. This is the story of a man who worked with God, Wilbur Sawyer. On a humid day in June in the year of 1906, two fledgling doctors, fresh from commencement ceremonies, waited on a Boston railroad platform.
Write to me at home, Matt. They'll forward your letters. Sawyer, of all the men I met at med school here, I'll say this for you. You can be the most mysterious.
Now, there's a fond farewell.
Now, why won't you tell me what your plans are, Will?
I'd tell you if I knew.
When do you plan to make up your mind? You have to start now if you're going to build a decent practice.
I'm not going to build a practice. That much I know. Yes, Matt, I want to help people.
Well, every doctor does, Sawyer.
No, I don't mean that way. I mean thousands of people, not hundreds. I want to work like the men they talked about in the commencement exercises, like Walter Reed.
Oh, I warn you, Sawyer, you're taking the oath of Hippocrates too seriously.
Walter Reed didn't. He's practically conquered yellow fever.
Yeah, well, Walter Reed isn't fresh out of medical school, Will. So in any case, benefactors of mankind can't afford to miss trade. You better hop on.
Right, Matt. Thanks for your concern. I'll work this out.
Yeah, I know you will. And when you get settled, let me know. A doctor has to hang his shingle out somewhere.
You're right, Matt. I'll hang my shingle out. I'll hang my shingle on the world.
It is written in the book of Ben Sira, Honor a physician with the honor due unto him. For the Lord hath created him, and the Lord hath given men skill that he might be honored in his marvelous works. For 10 years, Wilbur Sawyer labored, seeking not honor, but only a place in the battle against human misery.
Major Sawyer reporting, with your permission, sir.
Relax, Sawyer, and have a seat. I'm only a surgeon general.
Thank you, sir.
And if you'd drop the sir, I'd appreciate it. You'll be a civilian this time next week.
Yes, sir. I mean, all right.
Well, that's better. I'm glad you've come in. I want you to know the War Department is grateful. We feel you've handled this preventive social hygiene program brilliantly.
Thank you, General.
But you didn't ask for an appointment just to hear me tell you how good you are. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, my interest lies in preventive medicine.
Of course. Your public health work in California was outstanding, Sawyer.
Well, I want to take a crack at yellow fever.
Yellow fever? Why in the name... Why yellow fever?
Well, there's still no preventive. I've been hoping the Army might let me pick up where Walter Reed left off.
Not a chance, Sawyer. That was in the military interest. Our theater of war was Cuba. Now, why should we be particularly interested in yellow fever?
It kills people, General. That's still a good reason.
I'm sorry, Dr. Sawyer, but the Foundation's yellow fever work is limited.
My interest in the disease is unlimited.
Oh? Well, I'll enter your application for work in our Foundation, Doctor.
I'd appreciate that. I'm eager to make my plans. Could you give me a rough estimate of the waiting period?
Why, yes, I'd say... Well, let's see. I'd say, Dr. Sawyer, about 4 or 5 years.
From 1919 to 1924, Wilbur Sawyer roamed through Southeast Asia. His influence and skill were felt in India and Thailand, and in Australia, where he had successfully combated the scourge of hookworm. He was named advisor to the government on all matters of public health. 2 years later, at the age of 47, he walked through a series of screen doors on the coast of West Africa to begin his life over again.
Come in, please.
Dr. Noguchi?
Yes? You must be...
Wilbur Sawyer.
Of course. The city will be arriving any day. A warm welcome to Africa, Doctor.
Warm is right.
Warm and wet. A congenial climate for the mosquito. Excellent for yellow fever research.
You couldn't offer a higher endorsement.
After a while here, you may change your mind.
I don't think so.
No, neither do I. Dr. Sawyer, will you excuse a direct question? It's important if we're to work together.
If it's important, please ask it.
Have you ever worked on any extended piece of research before?
No. As a matter of fact, I haven't.
I know your work. Public health, hookworm, social diseases, fine preventive medicine. Very valuable.
But not research. Is that it?
Precisely. Not research. And this is a pure research project.
Do you doubt my qualification?
Well, certainly not. Not your professional qualifications.
Well, you mean my non-professional qualifications?
Let me put it this way. You are used to seeing results rapidly. You're used to having certain satisfactions.
There are other satisfactions.
Yes, yes. But do you realize you may work for years in research, work for years and never see a single positive result?
Has that stopped you?
For me, it's different. Hideo Noguchi equals yellow fever. Yellow fever equals Hideo Noguchi.
And you think a Dr. Healer cannot become a doctor research scientist?
After 20 years of world-famous work in public health?
I'm ready to start again. As if it were the beginning of those 20 years.
Why? Probing into the unknown should be no passing fancy. Are you sure this is what you want to do?
Want? Some paths a man chooses. I chose public health over private practice. But there are other paths which choose a man. You must follow them, as if they were dictated by a force beyond yourself.
You feel that?
Yes, deeply. Do I impress you as an unscientific scientist?
No, Dr. Sawyer. You impress me as an honest and humble man. I think we will work well together. Can you see it, Dr. Sawyer?
The scope is out of focus, Lee. Oh, yes. I see it now.
That's the little devil. I call it Leptospira ichthyroides.
And you think it causes yellow fever?
I'm not sure yet. I'm developing a vaccine.
Yes, but if you get a vaccine, how can you test it?
Only one way, Dr. Sawyer. First, I will immunize myself with it.
And then?
Then I will expose myself to a bite from our friend, the Stegomyia mosquito. Cheer up, Sawyer. I know you are a teetotaler, and there's nothing but soda in your glass. I give you a toast to our little demon, Leptospira ichthyroides.
Noguchi, I have my own demon.
Huh?
The demon of doubt. The demon of... Is it fair?
Is it fair?
Am I fair to my wife, my daughters, my little boy? I've been away so long.
Sawyer, you are a scientist.
Well, even a scientist grows lonely. And from loneliness comes doubt. Does it ever seem to you, Noguchi, that our work may be off the track?
Sometimes, Sawyer. Sometimes. But sometimes the door to knowledge swings open suddenly. We may even have the answer here in a few weeks.
A few weeks? That's impossible.
Not at all. I've already injected myself with vaccine of retrospira ichthyosis.
Only a few weeks later, Wilbur Sawyer wrote a letter home to his wife.
Dear Margaret, I'm coming home, but with a heavy heart. Noguchi is dead. The best guess is now that the cause of yellow fever is a virus. Noguchi died so I could write that sentence. In virus work, monkeys can be used as experimental animals. That seems a simple sentence too, doesn't it? But Adrian Stokes died to make it possible for me to write it. We must find the answer fast now, Margaret. The toll has been so great.
Shortly after Sawyer came home in 1928, the Rockefeller Foundation in New York came to an important decision.
We want you to head the entire project, Dr. Sawyer. We consider this yellow fever laboratory a major undertaking. Now, the main consideration is speed.
Research has a way of going slowly, sir.
Of course, but with a large staff...
I don't want a large staff. 3 or 4 scientists, I think, would be about the right number.
Dr. Sawyer, I know you've been used to small-scale budgeting, but believe me, we can go much further.
3 or 4 will suffice. I'm thinking of Stokes and Hideo Noguchi. Why should we expose our best minds to unnecessary risks?
Well, I agree with you. But naturally, you will want a larger staff of assistants and helpers.
No, I think we'll limit them, too.
But the work of caring for the infected animals, feeding them, sterilizing their cages, disposing of them, surely that needs more manpower than you're suggesting.
We'll help in that part of the job ourselves.
I consider that a waste of resources, Dr. Sawyer.
Do you? Is the life of one human being more expendable than the life of any other human being?
For more than a year, Wilbur Sawyer and the dedicated staff of the Yellow Fever Laboratories of the Rockefeller Foundation in New York worked on a schedule that knew no hours, days, or seasons. In their own land, they were exiles from their families, cut off from their friends, by self-denial, limited in their time even with their children.
Dad, what are you doing home?
I'm taking the day off, Bill.
You know what a day off is, Dad?
I don't wonder you ask. I'm staying home today.
What do you do when you're not home, Dad?
Oh, I try to find out things.
Like what?
Like what makes people sick and what makes them better.
What does make people sick, Dad?
All kinds of things, Bill. There are all kinds of being sick. You know, colds and measles and chicken pox. You know about those.
What kind of being sick are you trying to find out about?
Yellow fever.
And have you found out what makes people get yellow fever?
Not really, no.
Then did you find out what makes people get better from yellow fever?
No, don't think we've found that out either yet.
Then what do you do when you're not at home?
Well, I have a lot of monkeys, huh?
Monkeys? Can I see them sometime?
Perhaps, Bill. I give these monkeys tests.
Like in school. You mean they can write?
What? Oh, no, those kind of can't write. But you know most of those monkeys can take their own temperature? They've learned to pop thermometers right into their mouths.
Really?
Yes, really.
Well, if the monkeys do all the work, why do you have to be away from home so much?
Careful with that stuff, John. If it were to touch you.
I'll be careful, Dr. Sawyer.
I'm going to inject this healthy rhesus monkey in cage 4 with it. Will you give me a hand?
Oh, that monkey and I are old friends by now. What is it this time?
I hope the real thing. We'll see soon enough.
All right, Doctor.
Ready?
Come out here, you little beggar.
What time is it now?
6 o'clock. Look, he's seen the needle. He's holding out his arm.
If he can hold it out 24 hours from now, John, It means we've failed again to find the cause of yellow fever.
Dr. Sawyer.
Yeah, what is it, John?
Our friend in cage four. You better come see him.
In cage four?
The recent, the one you injected yesterday.
Yesterday. Well, what's today?
Wednesday. What's the matter, doctor? You look flushed.
No, I'm all right. You say the monkey in cage four shows some symptoms.
Yes, he's languid and feverish. I think he's going to collapse.
If he does, that would prove that we've isolated the virus.
That you found the cause of yellow fever. There. Yeah, you see?
Yes. At last.
Congratulations, Doctor. Well, what's the matter, Doctor? Dr. Sawyer.
For months, Wilbur Sawyer's body fought the dread disease his mind and skill had fought for 5 years. Perhaps it was willpower that brought him back to health and back to the laboratories. Perhaps a sense of destiny.
John, I've reached the end of my rope.
Oh, what do you mean? You've developed a vaccine against yellow fever that's the most promising yet.
Yes. I got Max Tyler at Harvard to work out a less virulent strain than the kind we find in monkeys. But I can't check its effectiveness.
Why not?
Well, I can't test it on myself. You're forgetting I've had yellow fever. I'm immune.
Then test it on someone else.
How can I? How can I take someone else's life in my hands?
I'm ready, Doctor. And so is every other person in this lab.
I know that. Oh, but I can't share the risk. When I think of Noguchi...
Oh, Dr. Sawyer, your whole life has been risks.
Still, it's too great a responsibility. A man's life...
There's a higher responsibility, Doctor. To all men.
In 1931, Dr. Wilbur Sawyer recognized this higher responsibility and inoculated 9 volunteers from his laboratory. The test was a success. For the first time in history, human beings were safe from the dreaded scourge of yellow fever. Dr. Sawyer's discovery was hailed widely and at every level.
Dad, my teacher says you should get the Nobel Prize. What's the Nobel Prize?
It's a way the world has of honoring the human race for its perseverance, son.
Well, I thought it was a medal.
Yes, it is.
And will you get it, Dad?
I don't know, Bill. But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No. A prize is like a label on a jar of jam. If the jam tastes good, does it matter if the label's on the jar?
How do you know it's good without a label?
Well, you'll learn that, I hope, as you grow up.
Dad, when I grow up, do you think I could be a doctor?
Wilbur Sawyer's vaccine against yellow fever was not adaptable for mass use, however. But in 1937, Dr. Max Tyler, working under Wilbur Sawyer's direction, adapted the Sawyer vaccine for mass use.
Juan Gomez?
I am here.
Hold out your arm.
Si, like senor.
This. It will sting a little, Juan.
Better than the mosquito.
That is true. Fabri Hernandez?
The names
Juanita
of
Cuesta,
people
Pablo
saved,
Cuesta?
Whole populations. By 1940, Wilbur Sawyer and his associates had inoculated 2 million people in South America against yellow fever. In 1941, the army, which had felt 22 years before that yellow fever research was not in the military necessity, was immunizing hundreds of thousands of troops with yellow fever vaccine. In 1944, Wilbur Sawyer was visiting his son at medical school.
Dad, I think you ought to take it easy.
I've been considering it, but there's still a lot of work to do.
You've done enough. The war is practically over.
You know very well the war that doctors fight is never over.
That's true enough, Dad. You know, that's one reason I plan to go into research.
You've made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you won't regret it.
But when I hit 65, I'm going to slow down. I've learned enough about the human heart. Excuse me, Dad. Yes? This is Dr. Sawyer. No, Dr. Wilbur H. Sawyer. Oh, you want my father. Here, Dad. I'll call for you.
The call was from a million suffering people, and Wilbur Sawyer, who had answered many calls, could not refrain from taking it. So, at the age of 65, in 1944, Dr. Wilbur A. Sawyer became the health director of UNRWA. Millions of displaced persons in the DP camps of Germany and Austria and Italy depended on the skill of the one-time med school graduate who had hoped to be of use to thousands, not to hundreds. The time of man on Earth is reckoned at 70. And accordingly, in 1949, Wilbur Sawyer, at 70, retired to his home in Berkeley, California. Early in 1951... his housekeeper came to his door with an important telegram.
Good news, I hope, Dr. Wilbur.
The best, Elizabeth. They've awarded the Nobel Prize for the discovery of the vaccine against yellow fever.
The Nobel Prize?
Yes, sir.
Oh, congratulations, Dr. Wilbur. You must be proud.
I am. They've given it to Max Tyler. What? You remember him, don't you?
To Dr. Tyler? Oh, I hope you aren't too disappointed.
Disappointed, Elizabeth? Prizes and honors are more important for those who give them than for those who receive them. I know Max Tyler would agree.
But still, the years you worked...
The years I worked, and those Noguchi worked, and those Stokes worked, they're all a part of this award. Men of science belong to many lands and races and creeds. I'm a New England Methodist. Noguchi was a Japanese. Tyler was a Swiss born in South Africa. There were Jews and Christians among us. No one man builds the house of truth, Elizabeth. The walls rise brick on brick. Each brick a legacy of some man's life. If I... aided in the architect's design. That's enough.
Wilbur Sawyer built his life upon a principle that each man is a partner with God in the work of creation. Upon that altar of service, Wilbur Sawyer placed the 72 years of his life as a humble offering. Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Harry Levine, eminent citizen of Boston. Mr. Levine.
Today's story has presented the inspiring example of a dedicated man. Although the world has recognized the scientific achievements of Dr. Sawyer, it is important for us to note here the admirable achievements of a human spirit. There is an important lesson which we may learn from the play we have just heard, the concept that man is a partner with God in the work of creation. For this concept, if rightly interpreted and adopted to the world around us, will lead to a better life of service to mankind. It is with an attitude of humility and faith that we must accept our human limitations and, working within them, proceed to create order and strive for knowledge. Even in an age of specialization and experts, we must remember that no one man can do this alone. Even as our physical ancestors are often unknown to us, so do we owe a debt to our spiritual forebears. There is a continuing link in history. Today's accomplishment is based upon yesterday's discovery, and tomorrow's disclosure has its roots in the tests of today. If we are to see ourselves correctly in both the pattern of events and in the world of creation, we must realize this interdependence. This is no easy task. In place of our present war-minded habits, we will have to cultivate a whole new set of peace-minded habits. To have peace and to keep alive anything of worth in our civilization, we will have to think of spiritual values, substituting morality and fair play for self-interest and brute force. But this moral awakening cannot be accomplished in our own strength and wisdom alone. We must of necessity believe in a power greater than ours to pray to for direction and guidance in our undertaking and for the resolution and fortitude necessary to carry it through to completion. Thus has the script portrayed Dr. Sawyer's life, and in this manner must we seek to design our own lives. Dr. Sawyer's scientific advances have relieved great numbers of oppressed in many lands, but it was the vision of the young Sawyer, just out of medical school, who said, "I will hang out my shingle on the world," which made these advances possible.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Eternal Light Drama today, A Partner with God, was written by Mark Siegel. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Stats Cotsworth was featured as Dr. Sawyer. Roger DeCoven was the narrator. And Dr. Noguchi was played by Louis Van Ruten. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.